Colgate-Palmolive Peat Company, makers of Halo Shampoo to glorify your hair, and Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle, bring you Mr. and Mrs. North, starring Alice Frost and Joseph Curtin. People like Pam and Jerry North enjoy living in New York because there's always something going on at any hour of the day or night. But if there's one time when the big city sleeps or even dozes off for a moment, it's in the wee hour just before dawn, when the streets are deserted and your car is just broken down on the outskirts of town.
Oh, it's no use, dear. This thing wouldn't start if I gave it a dose of Benzedrine.
I wish you'd stop turning the motor over. I'm beginning to feel like a malted milk.
Must be the distributor. Or that flow from the carburetor.
Oh, no, it's the starter, Jerry. It keeps spinning around and around as if all the ice cream weren't melted.
What ice cream?
Well, I hadn't thought about the flavor. I suppose it's chocolate.
In the carburetor?
Oh, is that what you call those things?
What things?
Those aluminum containers they mix malted in.
Darling, I'm talking about starting the car.
Well, for goodness sake, what do you think I'm talking about?
I don't know, dear. You haven't given me a clue.
Jerry, where are you going?
Well, we can't just sit here, Pam. I've got to find a garage or a telephone or somebody that'll give us a hitch to one. Everybody around here seems to be asleep.
Oh, there must be some sign of life. Other people drive home from late parties, don't they?
Not along this road. There doesn't seem to be a single... Ah, a milk wagon.
What are you so happy about? We don't want any milk.
Hey there, hold up a second, will you?
Oh, Nilly. What's the trouble, mister? Run out of gas?
Run out of engine, I think. Do you know where I can find a garage that's open at this time of the night?
Well, now, I don't know as I can. I don't have much use for garages, you know. Not while there's good horses around. Now, you stop laughing, Nellie. You break down, too, once in a while.
What's the matter, Jerry? Won't he help us?
Oh, I'll help you, ma'am, as soon as I finish up my milk route. Nellie won't mind taking you to a garage, so long as you don't make her go in. The smell of gas gives her colic.
I guess she doesn't even like to talk about it.
She don't mind.
Well, how long do you think it'll take you to finish?
Oh, it won't be long. I haven't got but a few more calls to make. Now, you just sit here in the wagon and wait for me. I'll be back in a minute.
Do you think we ought to, Jerry?
Wait in the wagon? Why not?
Well, I don't know. It seems kind of funny to be sitting in a milk wagon. I don't know a thing about cows.
I don't either, dear, but I'd just as soon get home tonight. Come on.
Must be awfully lonely being a milkman, leaving bottles at people's doors, sitting up here in the driver's seat. You never see anybody face to face. Not even the horse.
Pam, will you please sit down and leave Nellie out of this? The first thing you know, I'll have to...
You have to what?
Stay where you are. Don't make a sound.
Why, Jerry...
Shut up, I tell you.
Jerry North, how dare you talk to me like that?
I'm not talking, Pam. It's this manly-looking gentleman who's just stepped up to the wagon.
Well, what is he?
The one on your left with the scar on his face.
And the long-nosed gun in his hand.
Oh... How do you do?
Keep your trap shut or you'll get hurt. Where's the milk?
Matt Wells. What milk?
Come on. Where are the cases that were piled up and back?
I don't know. We're strangers here.
Well, push over and let me look inside.
Yes, sir.
Well, is that all the milk there is? Just these four bottles?
As far as we know, we haven't touched a drop.
No. We're coffee drinkers.
Shut up. I ain't got time for polite conversation.
Hey, what are you doing? That's somebody's milk.
Mind your own business.
Oh, you can't do that. Think of all the trouble the cows went to.
Sit down and keep out of the way.
Jerry, he's milk mad. He'll break all the bottles and we'll get the blame for it.
Well, that's that.
There's some cream over here in the corner.
Never mind. Where's the milk route?
The what?
The list of places the milkman delivers to. It ought to be hanging up here somewhere.
Oh, is this it?
That's what I want.
And now, wait a minute. You can't get away with this.
No? What are you going to do?
Pay for the milk.
That's more like it. And just to make sure you don't get in my hair, I'm going to send you two on a little buggy ride.
Buggy? Here, don't you dare take those reins.
You'll get them back in a minute, lady. Yeah,
Jerry.
Give him a good ride.
Hey, don't do that.
Go.
Jerry, stop him. That thug's running away.
Never mind him, Pam. The horse is, too.
We'll be right back.
Girl, Nellie, just take it easy and we'll find your master for you.
Maybe it'd be better not to, after running away with his horse.
The horse ran away with us, dear. And if she hadn't tired on that long hill, we'd have been in Cleveland by now.
Oh, golly, she's starting again.
Now, don't excite her, Pam. She just sees her master.
Where?
Waiting right over there on the curb next to our car.
Oh.
Whoa, Nellie, easy, girl. This is the end of the line.
You'd better start talking, Jerry, before the milkman turns sour.
A fine thing. If you want to go for a ride, why don't you find a merry-go-round?
We can explain everything, driver.
Well, you can't explain overheating this horse. She ain't air-cooled, you know.
Well?
Gosh almighty, you broke my milk, too. Now Mrs. Snyder won't be able to take her bath.
But it wasn't our fault, driver. That horrible man had a scar on his face and a gun in our ribs. Otherwise, the horse wouldn't have run away. Don't you see?
I see, all right. But I don't think I'm hearing so good.
He broke the bottles, the thug. And he took the milk route, too.
Now, why would anybody want to break milk bottles?
That's just it. We don't know. Unless he sells cardboard containers.
It's a lot more serious than that, Pam. That guy was desperate.
I don't believe the whole story.
Stick him up.
Huh?
Stick him up, all of you. You'll get shot.
Jerry, it's a girl.
Now, what kind of a joke...
Shut up. Hand over all the milk you got. Come on, lady, pass it down.
But there isn't any more. Will cream do? We have some very thin cream.
Don't be funny. Give me the cream.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that all there is? Just these two?
That's all, lady. Mrs. Foley and Mrs. Rosenblum.
Oh.
Gosh sakes, that's not just cream. That's extra heavy.
What happened to all the milk?
The man with the scar got it. He got the milk route, too.
The man with the scar?
That's what they tell me.
Get in, driver.
How's that?
Get in, I said. We're all going for a little ride.
Another one? My horse is exhausted.
Do like I tell you. You're going to take me back over your milk route.
Why did he do it? Why did it have to happen to me? Every bottle along the route has been broken.
Well, stop your whining and keep driving.
There's Mrs. Henderson.
There must be milk insurance.
There's Mrs. Flowers, both quarts.
There's rain insurance.
They'll never forgive me. I'll have to move to a new neighborhood.
Oh, there's one that isn't broken.
Where?
I see it. Mrs. Breedham's house. Oh, Nellie. Oh.
Take it easy now. No tricks or I'll let you have it.
We may get out, may we not?
One at a time. And keep in front of me. All of you.
Come on, Pam. Watch your step, dear.
How can I? With a hot gun breathing down my neck.
Go ahead, milkman. Stay with him.
I'm staying. Only I wish you would...
Keep moving.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Not too fast now. Keep in line.
Anything you say. Go ahead, Jerry. I just can't understand why all the other milk bottles are broken and this one is still whole.
Wait a minute. I think I understand it now, Pam.
What is it?
A man lying across the steps. A dead man.
Oh, no.
How do you know he's dead?
He's been shot through the head.
Jerry, that thug did it. The man with the scar on his face, he killed him.
No, Pam. That thug didn't kill this man.
Why not?
Because this man is the one with the scar on his face.
This is one situation where there's more to cry over than spilled milk.
Halo, everybody, halo. Halo is the shampoo that glorifies your hair. So halo, everybody, halo.
Use Halo shampoo if you want naturally bright and beautiful hair. Remember, even finest soaps and soap shampoos hide the natural luster of your hair with dulling soap film. But Halo contains no soap, therefore cannot leave dulling soap film. The first time you use Halo, your hair glistens in all its natural brilliance. The natural color and luster shines through like sunshine through a clean window pane. And remember, even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather. Halo quickly carries away loose dandruff and grease, needs no lemon or vinegar rinse, because Halo leaves no dulling soap film, nothing to hide your hair's natural beauty. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Use Halo on your children's hair, too. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter. Remember, Halo glorifies your hair.
So Halo, everybody, Halo. Halo. Halo Shampoo, Halo.
Now, back to Mr. and Mrs. North.
Don't just stand there, Jerry. Get the police.
I'd be very happy to, dear, but I doubt if this young lady with the gun will let me.
I will in a minute, mister. As soon as I search this guy's pocket.
Oh, don't do that. It's against the law to move a dead man.
Against the law to do a lot of things.
I'll bet you've done them all.
Shut up. All I wanted from you was milk.
Just the same, you're going to get into a lot of trouble if you don't stop throwing suspicion on yourself. You're mixed up in a murder case, young lady.
No, I'm not. I'm just looking for a ring.
What kind of a ring? Is that what he was looking for?
That's my business.
It'll be the police's business, too, when they catch up with you. Don't forget you've got three witnesses here who can identify you.
Cut it out, will you? I didn't kill this guy.
But you do know who he is.
He's a skunk, a no-good double-crossing skunk.
Oh, I take it you're in love with him.
I was until he tried to run out of me, just swiping somebody's ring. A dirty rat. He said the cops would chase him down the street. He had to get rid of it.
So he just left it in my milk wagon?
That's what he told me. Said he cut through the cap of a milk bottle and dropped it inside so he could pick it up later.
Only the wagon had moved by then.
I guess so.
Well, if he was double-crossing you, why don't you put that gun down and let the police take over?
Because I don't want to get blamed for stealing that ring. I want to put it back before she finds out it was stolen.
Who is she?
The woman I work for. She'll think I took it because I'm a maid.
Well, who is the woman you work for?
I've told you too much already. Now, turn around, all of you.
What's the idea?
Turn around, I said. Keep facing the street. Anybody tries to follow me, I'll shoot. Stay that way, all of you.
Can't see which way she's going, Jerry.
No, and I'm not going to look either. She's too nervous to be tempted with that gun.
I'll see.
We should have found out who she works for. The woman who owns the ring is the key to the whole case. We don't even know who she is.
I know who owns the ring.
Who?
Mrs. W.W. Stewart. Says so on the inscription.
What inscription? What are you talking about?
The ring that was in the milk bottle.
You mean you've seen that ring?
Seen it. I got it. I found it while you was out gallivanting with my horse. It's right here in my pocket.
Homicide, Sergeant Mullins speaking.
Mullins, this is Mrs. North.
Ah, so early in the morning, Mrs. North? Don't tell me you're going to start finding corpses at the break of day.
Well, we found this one, Mullins. There may be more later.
You mean there's one already? A bona fide murder?
As far as we're concerned, it is, but we'll leave it to you to make it official.
Well, I'd better get right up there.
That's why I'm calling you, Mullins. Jerry and I are going to take the diamond ring over to Miss Stewart's place, but you'll find the body on Hewlett Street, about 6 feet from Mrs. Breeden's milk bottle.
What?
Oh, you can't miss it, Mullins. It's homogenized, and the milkman will be waiting there for you with a gray horse.
We must have a bad connection. Nothing but gibberish is coming out this end.
Well, it's going in clear enough. The corpse is on Hewlett Street, 722.
I got you.
A milkman is waiting there for you to tell you about the murder.
I got you.
And Jerry and I have to dash over with the ring because that maid of hers might kill somebody.
I lost you.
W.W. Stewart is certainly taking her time about answering the doorbell, Jerry.
Well, it's only 8 o'clock, dear. She might still be asleep.
Yes?
Mrs. Stewart? Mrs. W.W. Stewart?
Yes.
I believe you own a diamond ring with a large stone in the center and a circle of emeralds around it.
Why? Who are you? What do you know about the ring?
Well, we don't know very much, except that it was stolen last night.
Stolen? From this apartment?
Oh, don't be alarmed, Mrs. Stewart. The ring isn't missing anymore, but if you want it back, we'll all have to go to the police.
No, I don't want any fuss about that ring.
But there is a fuss.
There will be if we stand here talking about it.
Well, what shall we do? Make signs?
No, please, go away, will you? Don't you understand? My husband is a very jealous man. I can't stand here any longer. I really...
Who is it, dear?
Oh, just some people from down the hall, Ed. Please, will you go away and come back some other time?
Mrs. Stewart, you don't seem to realize there's been a murder.
I can't help it. There'll be another one if you get my husband involved in this.
But what about your maid?
Goodbye.
Well, that was a cordial little reception. Another minute and she'd have served tea right in our faces.
Very strange, Jerry. Didn't seem as if she were at all interested in getting her ring back or the murder either.
Seeming isn't believing, dear.
She didn't even seem to seem.
Well, before we go off the deep end on this, I think you better run down to the drugstore on the corner and phone the police again. I may need Mullen's strong right arm before I'm through here.
Well, what are you going to do?
Find out a little more about this ring.
Alone?
I won't be alone long, Pam, if you hurry that call. A squad car can be here in 3 minutes.
Oh, all right, Jerry. I'll be right back.
Thank you, dear.
And don't keep telling me I can trust you because I can't. You lie like a trooper.
I don't.
Don't argue with me. I've got to get to work.
Excuse me.
Yeah? What are you doing here? What do you want?
Why, nothing. I was just...
Don't hand me that. You were just about to ring the bell. You're one of her friends, aren't you?
No.
As soon as I tell her I'm going to Chicago, they start coming early in the morning.
Now, wait a minute. I was here just a moment ago. I rang the bell.
Then she was lying to me. She said it was somebody from down the hall.
Hey, let go of my coat.
I'll make an example of you, mister.
Nope.
Come on. Come on, get up.
So you can knock me down again? No, thank you.
Get up, I said, or I'll grind you into the floor.
No, well, wait. Now, look, I don't even know your wife. I just came here to help her get a ring back.
What ring?
The big diamond one that was stolen last night. I've got it right here.
Don't you lie to me. That ring is at the jeweler's. She told me she left it there to have it fixed.
Well, I don't know what she told you, Mr. Stewart, but...
Hey, that's my throat you're squeezing.
Come on, we're going to find out about that ring right now.
Wait a second, will you? My wife's downstairs in the phone booth.
I don't care where your wife is. You're coming with me.
Operator, get me police headquarters right away.
Yes, ma'am. Police headquarters.
Put that phone down.
Huh? Oh, it's you. Oh, dear. It's you.
Put that phone down.
Of course.
Now, hand over the ring.
What ring?
Don't play dumb. I saw the milkman give it to you. I've been following you ever since.
Well, you haven't followed very closely. My husband's got it.
Get it back.
But I can't. He's upstairs in the apartment on Tilden Street, and you're holding me here on Monroe Street.
What are you talking about?
Well, it ought to be plain enough. You're holding me here on Monroe Street, and my
husband...
Wait
a minute. There goes your husband now, with Mr. Stewart.
Where?
Can't you see through the window? They're crossing the street.
Well, don't you want to find out where they're going?
You bet I do. Come on. Until I get that ring, I'm not going to let either of you out of my sight.
Well, I wish you'd tell me why you're dragging me to a jewelry store, Mr. Stewart. I've got the ring in my pocket.
Be quiet. The store's right here.
It isn't open yet.
Then we'll wait. There's something awfully fishy about this ring business, and I've got a hunch my wife is behind it.
Why?
Because she doesn't ever tell the truth until I dig it out of her. Only this time I'm going to dig it out of the jeweler. Hey, say, what was that?
Sounds like a shot to me. There's another one.
Where are they coming from?
I haven't got the faintest idea. Quick, get down. That one was too close for comfort.
What the heck is going on here?
Don't you know, Mr. Stewart? Somebody's trying to kill us.
Well, it looks like Jerry is going to be kept very busy for a while. I'd like you to try something tomorrow morning or evening. In return, I promise you a small miracle, and that's not a wild promise. I ask you to brush your teeth with the all-purpose tooth powder, Colgate tooth powder. Just that, and here's the reward I promise you. You'll find that brushing your teeth becomes a really pleasant experience. You actually enjoy the rich, active foam of Colgate tooth powder, and you'll certainly like what it does for you. Not only does it get your teeth sparkling clean, looking their brightest, but at the same moment, it cleans and sweetens your breath, too. Indeed it does. That's proved. Colgate tooth powder with its active foam instantly stops unpleasing breath originating in the mouth in 7 out of 10 cases. Look, you can still get all-purpose Colgate tooth powder tonight and try it in the morning. But at any rate, try it as soon as you can. The sooner the better, for you will learn that Colgate tooth powder sweetens your breath while it cleans your teeth.
Shots are coming from across the street.
Get back in the doorway, Mr. Stewart. You're too big a target. If you are the target...
It's me, all right. My wife's firing those shots. See her over there?
She's coming this way. You better beat it before she gets the range.
Where can I go? She's got us cornered in this doorway.
Well, I'd stand in front of you, but the way she looks, I think she'd shoot through me.
Come on out of there, Ed.
Now, wait a minute, honey. You don't want to kill me.
Keep talking. There's a police car coming up.
I know we had our little spats, but...
Stop shaking, you big bluff. If I hadn't been afraid of you, this would never have happened.
But I don't want you
That gun lady in proper fast. Mullins. It's all right, Mr. North. I've got hold of her now.
You got here just in time, officer. She was going to kill me.
Don't be a fool. I was just trying to frighten you away from this store. I didn't want you to speak to the jeweler before I did.
Why not?
Because I lied to you about that ring, Ed. It wasn't being repaired. I pawned it about a month ago, and I didn't want you to know about it. So I had a duplicate made.
And that's the one I've got? The one that was stolen?
Yes, Mr. North. The stones aren't real.
Well, I don't know what you two are talking about, but you're all coming down to headquarters for questioning. I've got a murder to solve.
Well, that's a lucky thing you found us, Mullins. How'd you know we were here?
Well, didn't your missus get a message through to headquarters? Ah, she pulled a fast one, Mr. North. Made believe she was hanging on the phone and left it open all the time.
What?
That's how we knew that the other girl was holding her.
What other girl? What are you talking about, Mullins? Where's Pam now?
I don't know, Mr. North, don't you?
No. What's that?
Oh, there she is across the street. Quick, Mullins.
That other girl will kill her.
It's all right, Jerry. I've got the gun now.
Pam, what happened? You're not hurt.
Now, don't get excited, dear. We just had a little argument over the revolver, and I won. Oh, watch her, Mullins.
Here, I got her.
I didn't kill him. I didn't kill him, I tell you.
Oh, but you did. You admitted he was running out on you when you called him a skunk. You had every reason to kill him, and you proved it. By refusing to give yourself up to the police when we told you to.
Oh, no, that wasn't it. I was afraid they'd blame me for stealing the ring.
Oh, but you didn't have the ring, so you couldn't have stolen it. You see, the only thing you had to hide from the police was murder.
Get in.
Awfully nice of you to take us home, driver. You sure you don't mind?
Oh, it's a pleasure, Mrs. North. I wish I could take you home every morning. Without a murder, of course.
Oh, aren't you sweet? You really mean that?
Sure do. Why, if I could make my milk route with you, I'd leave an extra bottle of heavy cream at every doorstep.
Aw, I think you're pretty swell, too.
Say, what is this? A mutual admiration society?
Why, Jerry North, you're not jealous, are you? I think it's fun coming home with a milkman.
So do I, as long as the milkman doesn't come home with us.
Remember, every Tuesday night at the same time, the Colgate Palmolive Peat Company, makers of Halo Shampoo and Colgate Tooth Powder, bring you Mr. and Mrs. North, starring Joseph Curtin and Alice Frost. The characters are based on those originally created by Francis and Richard Lockridge. Original music is composed and conducted by Charles Paul. The program is produced and directed by John Lufton.
A soap with a fragrance that's delightful and gay is one that is known as Cashmere Bouquet. Like magical gardens with blue skies above, so enchanting and trancing, the fragrance men love. It's thrilling to bathe each day with Cashmere Bouquet. No other soap gives your skin this exciting bouquet.
Next Tuesday night, Mr. and Mrs. North find a lawyer, namely to wit as follows herein, murdered, and a murdered man asking for their help. Charles Stark speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.